Okay, Mayor, what happened to you? You disappeared, Mayor. Where'd you go? Baruch atah Adonai Elohim melech olam shehakol nehiyeh bedvarai. Okay, let's see. We're over here in the middle of Rashi. Let's see. Kol ish asher mumbo. Any man? Kol ish asher mumbo.
You want to look at my face or you want to look at the words?
I don't mind looking at your face. Just show me what you
are
also.
You
just show me. Just show me what you're also looking at.
You don't want to see her.
Just turn your back. Turn it around so we can see it from, you know, from the back. Okay, kolish asher boimo mizera aharon. Every man asher boimo mizera aharon hakoyin lo yigash. He may not come near. He may not come near to do what? Lahakriv
es yishay Hashem. Oh, wow, you just had a tremendous chiddush.
What chiddush?
If someone from Zera Aharon doesn't have Zera, if he has a chulsha and a Zera Amin, he should be a apostle.
What are you talking about? Kol ish asher boy mum.
Okay, if a guy who's a kohen and can't have kids,
that was the case in Meroyach Oshach. That was yes. That's Meroyach Oshach. That was yesterday.
Right, so then, that whole discussion we had the last 2 days about IVF and whatever, and is no problem.
That's benogei a mum. That's not benogei the yichus. What is that gonna make a difference?
No, because then if he's a kohen which has a mum, his kids are halalim.
No, he's not. That's not correct.
No.
No such thing. Just because a father is a baal mum, that doesn't make the child into a baal mum. Of course
okay.
Not. The yichus is independent. All right, so let's go further. Kol ish asher bay mum mizerar ma'akrin lo yigash minakamir lahakriv es yishay Hashem mumbo. There's a blemish in him. Eis lechem alakov lo yigash lahakriv. The bread of his God, he may not come near to lahakriv to offer. So now we are again with lechem. When we started this on Monday, when we spoke about lechem, lechem means ma'achol, the offering of Hashem. The word yigash means to come near. Lahakriv also means to come near. There's a lot of words going on here. Let's see what it says over here in Rashi. I don't think there's Rashi here. No, there is Rashi. Good. Okay, so that's very interesting. We listed over here in the top of this pasuk, we listed over here a couple of blemishes. We listed over here back in pasuk 18, 19, 20. We had over here, Iver, Pisech, Oichorum, Oichorua. Okay, remember once upon a time we learned that? Chorum was the choitim, the nose is sunk, and Sorua means one limb is larger than the other. Then we learned about Isha Shayyeh by Shever Regal Shever Yod, a broken arm. That you can fix, right? You can, but until they fix it, it's a mum. Yesterday we learned that Gibe Noidak, Tivalul Beino, all went through the whole Shir yesterday, we're not going to review now. Now, what about other blemishes? Now, I don't know what it's called, another blemish. It doesn't tell us. Oi, Kol Isha Shayyeh by Mum. What we have not said?
If these blemishes today with plastic surgery and other innovative dermatological things for boils and stuff like that could be corrected. Is it, this is the way you were born?
I don't know the answer. I don't know the answer. A very tough question. I don't know the answer. Look, a broken foot and a broken hand can certainly be corrected. So mum oyver. There's definitely a rule. There are many examples that call the mum a temporary blemish. Things naturally heal. And yes, okay, let's say a person's nose is sunk in his head. So they can do surgery and they can extract it. They can do reconstructive surgery. Would that repair, or does that depend upon his DNA? There's a very famous, there's an old joke. A boy goes to his Rosh Shiva and he says to the Rosh Shiva, you know, I like this girl. I met her. I really, really like her. I want to marry her. So what's the problem? Problem is that they told me that this girl had a nose job. She had a nose job. She really had this very ugly nose, and she would be very, very ugly. It's only because she had a nose job. That's why she's beautiful. So the Rosh says, what's the problem? So he says, because when we'll have children, the children will have an ugly nose. She's not naturally beautiful. She's only beautiful because she had a nose job. But what's going to do with the children? The children. So the Rosh Hashanah says, so you'll do on them a nose job. So Mr. Rappaport, What can I say? I don't know what the answer is. I don't know. Is it dependent upon a natural defect? But let's say that you do something supernatural to repair it. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. You have to go see what it says in Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam. I don't know. Kol lish asher bay mum sadifa. What does Rashi over here say in this pasuk? Rashi over here says l'rabbi shar mumim. Excuse me. What does that mean? Shar mumim. You have a Shulchan Aruch here. What's called a blemish? How do you define what's called a blemish? Let's say you have ears like Obama. Well, let's say you have you're totally bald like Biden. Okay, you know, a mum is all relative to society, to what people consider to be a blemish. What's called a blemish?
Only physical blemish. Suppose you have mental blemishes.
Oh, you're right. Exactly. Let's say person he's on medication. He has OCD. Let's say he's Rachman Son, he's bipolar. You're right, 100%. Let's say he has to take medications. He gets too excited. He takes blood pressure medication. Does that mean he's disqualified? I have no idea. What does this mean here? Kol isha sherboi mum, l'raboi shamum. Next, mumboi, ba'oid mumboi pasul, hom ovar mumboi kosher. So what's these words, asher boy? A mum oiver. Like they say, a person, they hire a person, he's too young. He's too young for the job. We ordinarily we hire for this position, we hire someone who's 60 years old. This guy is 30 years old. So you know the answer is, don't worry, it's a mum oiver. It's a mum oiver. It will come, the mum will go away. He'll get old, don't worry, he'll get old. He'll turn white, and agmas nefesh will destroy him. So certain things are a blemish. A mum oiver. Now those are mum that are natural blemish that go. What if a mum that does not go away naturally? That is a different story. But oiver mum boy possible home of our mum my kosher. Okay, next. Next words over here. We had the same thing before. Okay, that's Rashi. What does the Targum say? Kol gvar di ve mumo mizara di aron kahana lo yikrav lekarava yaskur bo naya. It's the same exact thing we had in the beginning of this parak. Oh, he ties the word over here. No! I made a mistake. We didn't have this. I'm sorry. Ishei Hashem. The fire offerings of Hashem, he translates here as the korbanos. The Hashem mumabe, yos korban. See, he says the lechem over here. This is very interesting. This is something which we picked up in learning Unkelus. We picked up this concept. Unkelus, he makes the vocabulary of the Torah smaller. We mentioned this a couple of times, that the Hebrew language is from the smallest languages in the world. Okay, there are not that many biblical words. You want to go to Lashon HaKodesh. Lashon HaKodesh are only words that are found in Tanakh. And there are not that many words. Relative to other languages, it's a very small, short language. In English, I once read online all the numbers of all different languages. They tell you exactly how many words are part of each language, whatever that means. I mean, they always add words. So, you know, you have to keep up with who's the one who makes, who's the big mumche that decides what's called a word or not. But if you look at the list of the major dictionaries, the Hebrew language, Lashon HaKodesh, is a very small language, much smaller than most other languages in the world. And you know what Unkelus does? He makes it even smaller. He has this tendency to take, even in the same exact pasuk, you have two different words. Oh, no, they're the same thing. It says here the word es ishei Hashem, and it says here, Lechem Elokav. And he says, Ishei Hashem means the Kurban Ayada Hashem. And then when it comes to the Lechem Elokav, he says the Kurban Elokei. So he wiped out of the Hebrew language another word. He said that these two words really mean the same exact thing. There's no difference between the word Ishei Hashem and the word Lechem Elokav. He always seems to do that. Okay, you would think that when you have a translation, just the opposite. When you have a translation, you usually expand. You usually take things that appear to be exactly the same and you show based on its nuance, it's not the same, it's different, it's more expansive. Isn't that what we have today in all these super commentaries? They take a small text and they make a whole book, and the whole book is an elaboration to expand the depth of what it says. Onkelos, amazingly, is a translation. It is a commentary on the Torah. And you know what it does? It simplifies the Torah. I mean, if there's only one lesson that we learn from Onkelos, we learn Rashi Onkelos. I mean, we're learning Onkelos. So what does Onkelos do? He asks the average person on the street. What does Onkelos do? So well, it's a commentary. So what does a commentator typically do? He takes something which is only a couple of words and he makes it very complicated by giving you a very long explanation. He expands upon the depth of what it says in the pasuk and writes and darshans and talks and makes out of something very simple something very complex. You know what Onkelos does? He goes against the grain of every single commentator in the world. He takes a pasuk that has X number of words and he makes it into a translation of X minus number of words. He simplifies it. He takes multiple words and makes them into the same word. That is a chiddush noira, a chiddush otzum of what Onkelos is doing. Targum Yonasan ben Uzziel, he doesn't do that. Targum Yonasan ben Uzziel will always walk away from the pasuk with more words than what you started. He expands. Onkelos contracts. If I only came to learn that lesson, it was kedai. This lesson.
When he says lechem kubanaya, isn't he expanded?
No,
he
said.
You and I would take the word lechem and we think it literally means whatever food, like Rashi does.
Right.
He said no.
It means a carbon. It means a carbon. So he's saying the word lechem elokav. He's saying is don't confuse your mind and try to find nuances of the word lechem, bread, machol. It means a carbon. Finished. Have a nice day. A carbon. What is a carbon? An offering to Hashem. That includes everything. That includes bread, includes wine, includes wood. You can make a carbon of wood. It includes animals, all different types of animals. It means a carbon. Have a nice day. It's Ishei Hashem, the fire offerings of Hashem. Don't confuse me with these fancy terms. It means a carbon. Have a nice day. It means a carbon. So what has Onkelos really done? He has simplified the pasuk by taking multiple words and telling you they're just the same. It's poetic. It just means a carbon. That's an amazing lesson. That's Har Sinai. Is the Torah is complicated, but don't make it complicated. Make it simple. Simplify it. All the other commentators in the world do just the opposite. They take things that are simple and they make it complicated. This way, I mean, this is the difference between this concept, not in this context, is the difference between a professional and amateur. How do you define the difference between these two types of people? Someone comes to your house and he's going to fix your washing machine. Okay, you know how your washing machine works? Does anyone know what is under the hood? What's under the thing? How all of these things work? Not too many people understand what's underneath in the washing machine.
So, but right, what is it you need to know?
Okay, so let's talk about something that you, automobile.
The dryer is even more interesting.
Okay, a professional takes something that is inherently complex and makes it very simple. An amateur takes something that is very simple and makes it complex. That's the difference between a professional and an amateur. Professional knows how to simplify complex things. A person that doesn't know what he's doing, a layman, an amateur, someone that does things on his own, he's not trained, he takes things that are very, very simple and doesn't know what he's doing and he makes it very complicated. He makes it very complicated when it's not necessary to be so complicated. Onkelos is a professional because he takes complex psukim and he simplifies them. How do you know that's true? Because he has a knack of always doing this, taking words, different words, even in the same pasuk, and he translates them exactly the same. That is the ultimate art of professionalism. And Rabbi Yonasan ben Uzziel, just the opposite. He takes a pasuk that's very simple, and he injects into the pasuk all of these things that it doesn't say. It doesn't say this. Where did you get this? You tell me, go on and on, into the pasuk, all the stuff. Where did you get this stuff from? Well, obviously.
You're an amateur.
Okay, I'm just. I don't mean that. You know what I mean. You know what I mean. I don't mean it that way. I mean it's a style. It is a very fundamental appreciation of Targum Unculus. Only he does such a thing like this. You have an apostate, in the same apostate, two different expressions, and to translate them the same? Who would do that? Who would write a sefer to do that? Well, that's what he did. That is that defines, to a very large degree, the goal of Unculus. My goal here for you in translating is not just to give you an Aramaic translation, which was more common, not just by giving you an Aramaic translation, I'm giving you basically a bayor of the pasuk, but I'm also coming to simplify the pasuk for you. And this pasuk is a great example to illustrate his mission. It's not that Unculus is just really from Har Sinai. The Torah came with a manual. The Torah was given to Klal Yisrael with Unculus. He just restored what was forgotten. Let's now go to the next pasuk. Next pasuk says, Lechem Elokav Mikotshe HaKadoshim Mikadoshim Yoichel. And this pasuk tells over here that even though a person is a Baal Mum, I put yesterday on the chat, Ernie and Bert. And I put there on the chat, Bert has a line on the top of his eyes. And that was what we define as called the Gibein. According to Rashi, is the Gibein, the eyebrows are bizarre. Anyone that looks at Bert on the chat, Mr. Rapport, are you on WhatsApp? Do you have WhatsApp?
Yes.
So on WhatsApp, did you see what I put on WhatsApp? I put on WhatsApp a picture of Bert. And Bert has eyebrows that are straight. That's what we learned yesterday as Gibein. And then I showed then that picture that Meyer gave me this picture. He was Ernie was wrapping his hands around Bert. Why was he wrapping his hands around Bert? Because of this pasuk. He was telling him, listen, even though you can't do the avoida, you're a Baal Mum, still, Lechem Elokav Mikotshei HaKadoshim Umin HaKadoshim Yoichel. You can still eat from Kodshim, even though you're a Baal Mum. Rashi says, Mikotshei HaKadoshim, Elu Kodshei HaKadoshim, Umin HaKadoshim Yoichel, Elu Kodshei Kala. So the Torah is teaching us a very important principle, that a Baal Mum, even though a Baal Mum is not allowed to do the Avodah, a Baal Mum is allowed to eat from Kodshei Kodosh and Kodshei Kala. And Rashi elaborates, El Kodshei Kala, we didn't in effect, the Rashi, why do you have to have both? Why does the Pasuk need to say Min HaKodosh to say both? Let it just say one. V'yim Nemu Kodshei Kodosh, Lom Nemu Kodshei Kodosh Kala. Answer is, Im Loi Nemar, Yisiyamer, Kodshei Kodosh, Yerich HaBaal Mum, Shemat Sinu Shechu Tru Lazar. I would be misled to believe that he can eat from, he would eat from, if only to one of these expressions, I would apply that only to Kodshei Kodoshim, because Kodshei Kodoshim is much more severe. Even, they only can be eaten in the Azara, and only can be eaten by Kohanim. But Kodshei Kalim, which can be eaten even by the owners, by Yisraelim, and it can be eaten in the entire Yerushalayim, I would be misled to believe that a Baal Mum. I would think that a Baal Mum can eat Kodshei Kodoshim. Why? Shemot Sinu. Kodshei HaKodoshim Yoichel Baal Mum. Shemot Sinu Shutu Luzar. Because we find that a Zor ate Kodshei Kodoshim. What does that mean? She'ochal Moshe Besar Hamilum. This is an amazing, amazing Rashi. Rashi says that we find that a Zor ate Kodshei Kodoshim. Who is the Zor? Moshe. When did Moshe eat Kodshei Kodoshim? By the Miluim. The 8 days of Miluim. Starting Chav Gimel.
Wasn't that one on the upper well there?
He was a Kohen. You're right.
Those 8 days.
You're right. So what is Rashi then telling us? Obviously, there's a machlokes, or Rashi is telling us, in his opinion, when the Gemara says he was a Kohen, it doesn't mean mamish a Kohen. It means that he had the same rights. He had the same privileges, but he wasn't technically called a Kohen. He was still called a Tzar. You're right, Mr. Rapper. I don't know. Rashi, what you're saying, you said, which has to be defined. We have to see the Gemara. Does everyone agree with that? Chazal. We know that Chazal and Moshe are the status of a Kohen. Does everyone agree with that? Is that a das yachid, or is that universal? Even if you can say that's universal, now we're going to be required to really understand what the Gemara means by that. Does it mean that he's mamish a kohen, or does it mean that he has the privileges of a kohen, but he's still called a zar in respect to other things? He did not wear the big day kahuna, that we know as a fact. Moshe did not wear the big day kahuna. He did not. Moshe wore a lavan choluk, he wore a kittel, so to speak. He didn't with no hem. Of plain, the simplest garment possible. So let's see the Rashi. In what Emakar Hayisana, Emakar Hadash, we Yachal Almom, Shemitin, Shehut, Elzar, Shachal Moshe, Bebesar, Miluim. Aval, Bechose, Veshaik, but Bechose, the chest and the leg of Kardashim Kalim, Lo Yachal. Maybe that a Baal Mom is not allowed. If, when a person brings a Karbon Shalomim, the owner of the animal eats the majority of the meat, and he is required to give as a gift to the Kohen two portions. The Chozeh V'Shoik. So all of the Kohanim who are on duty in the Beis HaMikdash on that day get to eat from the Chozeh V'Shoik. Get to eat from these pieces of meat. But maybe I would think that a Baal Mum is not entitled to eat this, because we have no precedent anywhere that a Zor, someone who is not a Kohen, is entitled to eat from the Chozeh V'Shoik. And even Moshe Rabbeinu, who was a Zor and did eat meat of Kodoshim, he only ate meat from Kodoshim, but not from Kodshei Kalim. And you'll ask yourself, was a Kal V'Choymer? Madoch, you can eat from Kodshei Kodoshim, so certainly you should be allowed to eat from Kodshei Kalim. That's a good question. Why don't we make the Kal V'Choymer? I don't know. The Rashi is coming, the Gemara is really quoting the Mitzvah Gemara. It's coming to suggest that when it comes to Kodoshim, everything is unique, and the rules of making Kal V'Choymer do not necessarily apply.
Good, I'm good. Everything is good.
But Moshe Rabbeinu was not a Kohen.
Yeah.
When did Moshe get to Rishos?
Gzeres HaKosov. The Torah says, Gzeres HaKosov. Hashem said, yeah, this is the whole of the
great. He's out there.
It's Mr. Rapport. Rabbi Yisrael, this is the Rav. Rav Schmidman.
How's everybody?
Good evening, Rav.
I can't see anybody.
They're all on the bottom.
You're on the bottom, Mike. Yeah, it doesn't help me.
They're all very shy.
You're hiding from the camera. Your camera's shy.
That's the only one here wants to hide. Mr. Rapport is sorry.
Okay,
Mr.
Okay.
Blazer, this the MA.
Today you had the yard sign of a cousin of
yours. Who's that?
You had the...
Commander Nebel.
Otazoy.
And you even know it's my cousin. Look at that.
Am I right or am I wrong?
Not stum. I heard from an einikel. There's an einikel, the Toshe Rebbe, who has a bismedish in Monsi. It's called the Detroit Rebbe in Monsi. Zerach
HaShviyid.
Are you
talking about
Schneeblog? I think it's Taka Schneeblog. I think you're right. Yeah. Look at that. You know everything. You know everything. Okay. So Bekitzer Maisa, my son lives nearby, and he was by him. He was praving a Yortzat Tzidah for the commander, or a L'chaim for the commander. And he told my son that he was once with his Zayda, with the Toshe Rebbe in Antwerp. Okay. And they were staying by somebody. And during the night, he asked for a Chumash Heichel Brocho from the commander. And he went and asked the Balabos, and he says he doesn't have one. So the Toshe Rebbe said he doesn't sleep in a house that doesn't have a Heichel Brocho. And he stayed up a whole night till the morning, and he sent the Einikel to go out and buy a Heichel Brocho or to find one, and only then did he go to sleep. What do you say about that?
Which, you talk about the previous one.
Previous Toshe Rebbe, yeah.
Fish.
Yeah.
I don't know if Schneeblock is direct Einikel. He may be
I think he is. I think he's an Einikel. No, maybe not. Okay. Okay. Anyhow, Chusum Yog Nalenu.
Okay, take care.
Nay, you know all these things. You know all the yichus of everyone. You know everyone's business.
Yeah, I didn't get into his side. I would have drove it crazy.
Okay. So let's go back. Where did Moshe Rabbeinu? It was Gzeres HaKosov?
Gzeres HaKosov, yes. Gzeres HaKosov. Gzeres HaKosov. That Moshe Rabbeinu should be mishtamesh during the eight days of Milun it should eat. Yet there's nothing more than a Gzeres HaKosov. This is the instructions.
Okay. Okay.
So why do we make a kal v'chomer? I guess when it comes to kachim, I don't know. Like it's an interesting. It's a gemara. It's called a gemara. She'achal moish b'sah milum avim b'chodim shem b'shul kachim kal v'loyachal shloim b'tzim zor shcholim b'ohem lekach nemru kod kadoshim kalim kach nefoirash b'zvachim. This is more misach b'zvachim. Okay. So over here we have a pasuk. Pasuk we're telling us a principle that the zor that a bal mum is permitted to eat from the Kodesh HaKodoshim and from Min HaKodoshim Kodesh Kalim. And the reason why we need to say them both is because if we only would say the Kodesh HaKodoshim, we would not know Kodesh Kalim, because by Kodesh HaKodoshim, Moshe Rabbeinu ate, we have a precedent, but we have no precedent, we find a leniency with regard to Kodesh HaKodoshim, and maybe that leniency is going to extend over, obviously, to a Baal Mum. But when it comes to Kodesh Kalim, we have no precedent. We would not allow him to eat. That is why we need a pasuk to teach us that a Baal Mum is allowed to eat Kodesh Kalim. I'm assuming if the pasuk only told us that a Kohen is a Baal Mum can eat Kodesh Kalim, we would not allow him to eat Kodesh Kodoshim, because Kodesh Kodoshim is much holier. So that is why it is necessary for the Torah to write both about Baal Mum can eat Kodesh Kodoshim, Kodesh Kalim. Now, by the way, the same is true when it comes to Truma. Truma and Challah and all of the halachas, the Kohen is a full-fledged inclusion in all parts of society. The only thing is he can't duchan if he looks strange. A Baal Mum, a Kohen who's a Baal Mum can duchan. But if the type of blemish is a blemish which draws attention, people are going to start staring at him and looking at him, then he cannot duchen because of the danger of gazing at him. You'll come to gaze at the shechina that's resting upon his hands. But if not for that, even if he's a Baal Mum, he's allowed to duchen. He's allowed to duchen. Okay, so this is...
Rabbi, this might some place was, or you mentioned, that Kohen, before he goes duchen, he cannot take, funny socks.
Right, because it's going to draw attention. So he's not allowed to do anything. It's not just in the din in having a blemish. It's a din in drawing attention to himself. So if he puts on a funny hat, he puts on funny shoes, he's drawing attention. It's a problem. I'll give you an aftimina. I'll give you an example. Simchas Torah. Simchas Torah. People do strange things. And when do they duchen? They duchen during the meaning by most kilos is they duchen by shachris, not by musaf. Not by musaf because people drink. So they duchen by shachris. But sometimes you see they get a little bit merry already by shachris, and they put on funny things. They put on funny hats. It depends on what shul you daven in. Sometimes in shul they do bizarre things. So because they do strange things, they're really putting themselves in the halacha where they're not allowed to duchen because they're drawing attention to themselves. And anything you draw attention is a problematic. Alright, listen to Targum. Targum here says on this process, Kodesh HaKodashim, Kurban Elokei Mikodesh Kudshaya Umin Kudshaya Yechol. They can eat from the sacrifices of the Kodesh Kudshaya, Kodesh HaKodashim, and Umin Kudshaya. Okay, next pasuk. Ach. So what then is the Baal Mum now going to do? The Baal Mum is Ach El HaParoiches Lo Yavo, V'El HaMizbeach Lo Yigash, Ki Mumbo, V'Lo Yichalel Es Mikdashai, He should not profane my sanctuary, Ki Ani Hashem Mikadashim, I am God who has sanctified them. Now what does that mean exactly? With the Parochas. What does it mean by not going to the Parochas? So Rashi says, the Parochas here refers to La'hazois sheva hazois sha'al ha'parechas. When do you do this? The only one that does this is the Kohen Gadol. So it's saying that the Baal Mum is not allowed to be to sprinkle seven applications upon the parochas. Now, I'm clarifying. The Kohen Gadol sprinkles on the parochas three different times. Either on Yom Kippur, when he brings the par and the soyer, or when you bring two special korbanos. What are the two special korbanos? Number one, if the majority of Klal Yisrael worships Avodah Zorah B'Shoigig. There's some issue, it's hard for us to understand what this is, but there's some type of issue of the day where the Beis Din, they ask the Shiloh to the Sanhedrin, Hagadol, the Lishkas Hagazis, is this type of service considered idolatry? And they deliberate and they pass, no, it's not, it's fine, it's perfectly fine. And then the majority of Klal Yisrael, or even necessarily accurate, the majority of one Shevet, listens to the Psak Halacha of the Beis Din, and they do whatever they're told they're allowed to do, and then Beis Din realizes they made a mistake. Okay, even the greatest people make mistakes. They made a mistake. So then you have to bring a very special type of karbon, and this karbon, the blood is sprinkled seven times on the parochas. And the other example is, and this can be much more relevant, when they ask him, what's a Hilchas Shabbos? Any Avera, that if you do it b'mezid, there is a Chi of Karis. Again, this can be much more common, where you have a very difficult question about a Hilchas Shabbos. A question that relates to Shabbos. Are you allowed to do the following activity on Shabbos? Big, big hot issue, whatever that hot issue may be. Maybe it's about carrying. Is this a kosher Erev? Are you allowed to carry in this look? You have a certain situation. Are you allowed to carry? Can you make an Erev? Can you not make an Erev? And the Beis Din comes down, they analyze the case, they deliberate, and they paskin the halacha. And then, a while later, they realize they made a mistake. And in the meantime, everyone in Klal Yisrael, or the majority of one Shevet, acted upon their psak halacha, and they go mechal Shabbos. So ordinarily, what would be the halacha? Every single person has to bring a korban chatas. But this case is different, because in this case, the reason why everyone was mechal Shabbos was because the Beis Din told them they can. It was the Beis Din that made the mistake. So then again, you bring a special korban called the Se'irim HaNisrafim. And the blood of this Sa'ir is sprinkled upon the Mizbeach. So those are three examples. Avodah Zarah, any Aver that's the Chi of Karis through the Beis Din, or Yom Kippur. Those are the only three times that you sprinkle blood on the Parochah seven times. Who does this? If I'm not mistaken, it's the Kohen Gadol. The one that brings this carbon is the Kohen Gadol, who brings the carbon. Now that is the case. So when it says Ela Parochah Lo Yavo, it's just basically referring to the Kohen Gadol. So why doesn't the Pasuk just say the Kohen? You can't be, I mean, what does it mean over here? Just say the Kohen Gadol. It's a very interesting Pasuk. This Pasuk over here, we have to look at it, you look at the Farshim, we're not giving a shiur on the Farshim over here, we're going to go a little Chumash Rashi. But this is something is a very interesting topic, which have to delve into the depth of what this means. We're obviously here dealing with the role of the Kohen Gadol. And the Pasuk says that a Kohen, who has a blemish, may not be a Kohen Gadol. Isn't that strange? Because the next words say, Ach el aparochas lo. First of all, what's strange is that how you describe a Kohen Gadol? The Kohen Gadol, he doesn't go to the parochas. The sprinkle on the outside of the parochas is to sprinkle the blood. There are many, many other ways to describe a Kohen Gadol. He's the one that goes lefnai v'lefnim, inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, four times on Yom Kippur. The Kohen Gadol is the only one who wears the big day Shemoinah, the eight garments. So why is the Pasuk defining the Kohen Gadol with this term called El HaParochas? This is a very curious, a very interesting expression to refer to the Kohen Gadol. And the Pasuk here tells us that the Kohen, the Baal Mum, can be a Kohen Gadol. They can't go into, you can't go bring a sacrifice, apply blood on the Mizbeach in the Azara. Who does that? Any Kohen does that. Rashi, Ushneim Hutshuchu Likosev, Umefarash Mataras Kohanim. Okay, I didn't do my homework, but the Taras Kohanim, that's the Medj, that's called the Sifra. It's also called Taras Kohanim. This is the earliest body of work of Torah Shebaal Peh that was put in writing. Okay, this is where this comes way before the Gemara. The Talmud, the Mishnah, and the Talmud Bavli is all drawn from what it says in Taras Kohanim. It's not fun. You ever try to learn Taras Kohanim? It's not fun. It's a very raw text. It's not even so big. It's not even such a big text. The text is not all that big. The commentators on the text are massive, massive, massive commentaries on the Taras Kohanim. But after you're used to learning Mishnayos and Gemara, when you go back and you read the Taras Kohanim, you'll be very disappointed. It's a very terse, cryptic collection of statements of basically Torah Shebaal Peh that was put in writing for the very first time. And this was expanded upon greatly by those who composed the Mishnayos and the Braisos, which Rabbeinu HaKadosh selected and made the Mishnah, and the Gemara, which elaborates at great length as to what it says in Taras Kohanim. But over here it says, in Taras Kohanim you'll find the reason why you have to have both the Kohen Gadol and the Kohen Hegi. It parallels to a certain degree what we said before, that Balmum can eat from Kodesh, the Balmum can eat from Kodesh Kodoshim and Kodeshim Kalim, but he cannot be a Kohen Gadol and he cannot be a Kohen Hegit. V'lo yichalas mikdashi she'im avad avaydasa mechulales li posel, because if he does avoda with a blemish, then the carbon is posel. Targum, finish of the Targum. Targum says, Bram, but, ach. You see, there's another example of what I told you before, where Unkelus, he simplifies the text. Because he translates the word ach as Bram. You know where else he does it? He has exactly the same translation. Avol. Avol, Hashemim anachnu. Alochinu. Avol is also Bram. Again, another example of where Unkelus' mission is simplification. Beram, lefaruchta lo ye'ol, he may not enter lefaruchta. Okay, so I'm assuming it's like Rashi, towards. See, if not for Rashi, if you would read the pasuk, el haparuches lo yavo, what does it say in the English? But he shall not enter, oh, you see this? You see, the guy who wrote the English, I shouldn't say the guy, that's not nice. The Talmud Chacham, who wrote the English, I'm assuming it's Talmud Chacham, he writes behind. It's not what Rashi says. He never, according to the English, you get the impression that he may not enter into the Kodesh HaKodoshim. Well, first of all, which Pareches are we referring to? I assume we're referring to the Pareches that's Mavu B'min HaKodesh L'Kodesh HaKodoshim. Because there was another pareches. There was a pareches that was on the outside of the Heichel. He may not enter into the Heichel. Maybe that's what it means. Which pareches are we referring to? Referring to the pareches of going into the Heichel or the pareches of the Kodesh HaKadoshim? And if referring to either one of them, does it mean you're not allowed to enter within, behind which is you enter? So if you're going to say the word pareches refers to the pareches that's Mavdil Ben HaKodesh, L'Kodesh HaKadoshim, and you're going to say it means you're not allowed to go behind, it means he's going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Isn't that what the person, the English translator, isn't that what he really saying? And behind the curtain? And that's what Rashi said. Rashi says,
where
like,
does he sprinkle? Where does he normally sprinkle the Kohen when he does the Avodah? Which Parochas does he sprinkle on?
Only the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Only.
So isn't that what we're referring to, that particular parochas?
Well, there's another parochas. The Pasuk in Parash Truma says you make another parochas. A parochas before you go into the Heichel. There's another parochas.
But which one do you sprinkle on? That's what he's not allowed to do.
No, but it doesn't say sprinkling in the pasuk. Rashi's the one he said. So Rashi is coming to say a commentary which doesn't appear in the pasuk. Rashi is saying referring to the poreches of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Because that's the only poreches that you sprinkle on. There's no such thing. That's the only poreches you sprinkle on. And Rashi is telling us that we're not discussing entering within that poreches. You never sprinkle on the poreches from within. You sprinkle on the poreches from without. So, according to Rashi...
You're saying the translation is incorrect?
I'm not saying it's incorrect. I'm just saying that's not according to Rashi. That appears
how
to be...
Let's say you didn't have Rashi. What would we assume normally?
I would assume like what it says in the English. Like it says, Ela parochas lo yavo. How would you translate that? I would assume it means he may not enter within the parochas. Lo yavo. What does it mean, lo yavo? You may not enter. Vayavo. Come on. What does that mean? He entered. He entered the threshold of the king's private quarters. So when it says, ha parochas lo yavo, means to enter into the parochas. You enter into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Rashi says, no. You're not going, that's not what we're discussing. You're outside. And it says, Yavo, you come in towards. And you're going to sprinkle on the parochas. When you sprinkle on the parochas in Yom Kippur, and for the Sidim on Israfim, you don't enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The English translator didn't say that. He doesn't mention sprinkling. He mentions enter. What does it say? Behind.
I know, but he has a commentary here in the Art Scroll that if coming to the parochas means... it should have said. I mean, he's literally going into the, he calls the sanctuary, so I assume he means Kodesh Kodoshim. He says, but if this is for the intent of the verse, meaning entering into it, it should have said so directly, El Olamoed L'Yavo, you shall not enter the tent of the meaning, therefore, you shall not come to the parochas, is taken to mean, quote, you shall not perform the service that involves.
He is coming to explain Rashi in that comment. Absolutely on the mark. However, the English translator here is obviously not going with the parish of Rashi. He learns not enter behind. So where did the English translator get this from? It must be there are other commentators that are on the league of Rashi that disagree with Rashi, and he, in this English translation, is drawing from them. Now, can you suggest that Unkelis also disagrees with Rashi? Okay? Can you suggest, read the Unkelis? We're out of time, we have to stop, we're out of time. Lo ye'ol lefaruchto lo ye'ol. I don't know, it's a little bit vague to me. Maybe if you have you're a feinschmeck, and you're an expert in the grammar of Aramaic, you can figure out if Rashi is Unkelis coming to this degree, let's switch over here. Ulamad b'chol lo yikrav arei b'mabei v'lo yochel yosnik d'shai arei ano Hashem v'kadishan ayim Hashem v'etzayim v'ayim. Okay? So we touched upon a couple of things today. We have to stop over here. And we at least finished this section. Okay, that's an accomplishment. We finished this section. Look, when Bayidah Moshe has Aram Yom Bona Gal Kol Yisrael, he said all these words, HaMitzvah HaZois, Lahazir Bezdin Alakayhanim. First in the Bezdin, the Targum says, okay, so Baruch Hashem, at least in these 3 days, we accomplished something very big. We learned about all of the blemishes. And by learning about the blemishes, it should be a zuchus that no one here or anywhere should ever have a blemish. Everyone should be tamim. Tamim tia im Hashem alokecha. Have a wonderful evening, Rabbi Isaac. Thank you for coming.
What's your topic for tomorrow night, Rabbi Isaac?
Siddur. Tomorrow night we do the Siddur. So now that we went to the Siddur, what I plan on doing now, but I have to prepare. It's harder. I want to go through different Svarim, highlight certain, like right now, I really want to spend, we did it 1 week, and the last week we did the Sphira. We didn't do it last week. I want to do basically a book review on the newly printed Sefer of Chaim Kinievsky on the Siddur. Select a few highlights that I...
Yeah, I wanted you to continue that last week. You did that 2 weeks ago.
Right, so we didn't do that. Last week we learned about the Nusach of the Siddur for Sfiras HaOmer.
But two weeks ago,
we started it, right? So I want to do. I want to do it.
My wife enjoyed it.
I want to
enjoy it more than I did.
All right, you get one more person.
I want to get one more, at least one more shot at it tomorrow night, and then I want to do. I have another safer in line. I want to do a book review on that safer, and then we'll figure out what to do afterwards.
Lesabachi, you said that I was lawless now. My wife heard you say outlaw. She asked me if now I'm an outlaw. So she left, I'm an outlaw.
She's right.